Can anyone tell me what the fourth commandment is? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. So culturally, in practice, most of our Sabbaths are Sunday. It's this day. And what are some things that we normally do on the Sabbath? Okay, we do go to church. We're here. We do that on the Sabbath. Some other things that maybe we do on the Sabbath are take a nap. Maybe watch some TV or a couple football games or a movie. Maybe we read a good book or go out to eat. Maybe play some games or go to a child or grandchild's event. Those are some of the things that might describe our Sabbath day. Now we want to describe for you the Sabbath day of Stonewall Jackson. Most of you have probably heard of Stonewall Jackson, Civil War general for the South. Some of you probably don't know that he was also a very devout Christian man. And this describes his Sabbath day from one of his biographies that I read. He said his Sabbath was the fullest and busiest day of his week. He attended church twice and led two different Sunday school classes. He did his best to avoid any worldly discussion. He never traveled on the Sabbath. If a matter got brought up among his family that didn't directly tie to God, he would say to them, "We'll talk about that tomorrow." He also completely avoided any worldly pleasures, all forms of idleness, and all secular work. Stonewall Jackson's description of his Sabbath seems quite different than ours. And so a question for us this morning is, who's right? Who aligns more fully with the fourth commandment? Did Stonewall Jackson, or are we? Well, the only way to really answer that is to look to God's word. And we have the great blessing and privilege of doing that this morning. We're going to be looking to God's word about this gift of the seventh day that he's given to us. We're going to see this in Genesis 2, 1 through 3 this morning. We're also going to see it in Exodus. So I'm entitled this morning's message, The Seventh Day, A Day of Rest, Blessing, and Holiness. As we look at Genesis 2, 1 through 3, we're going to see that God rested on this day, and we're also going to see that God blessed this day and he made it holy. Then we're going to turn to the fourth commandment, and we're going to get some further insights about this day, why God gave us this day, and also see more clear application for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you. We praise you. Just blessed so abundantly to have this day and to have this time of worship. And Lord, as we look to your word this morning, help us to see maybe in a new and in a fresh way what this day is to be, the gift that it is that you've given to us, and maybe more clearly how we should be living it out in order to receive the blessings that you have for us. So Lord, just take this time and guide it and direct it and make of it what pleases you. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's just do a real quick review here of what we've covered so far. In Genesis 1:1, it said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So we saw in 5+ days that God separated light from darkness. He separated the waters below from the atmosphere above. He formed places for waters to pool together so there could be dry ground. He then created plants, the sun and the moon, sea creatures, birds, and animals. And then on the sixth day, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion." So you think about what God created on 6 days, and it's just astounding what God did. And just to put it maybe in a little small perspective, I thought if man were to combine all of our efforts for all men, all time, throughout all of history, we could never accomplish one thing God did on any of those 6 days. That's how amazing it is. And when God was finished, he said, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." And this leads us to this morning's passage, beginning in verse 2:1. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. So in these 6 days, God had finished his creation. Everything that was accomplished in chapter 1 is finished, and all of the host of them refers to everything that occurred on each one of those 6 days. So just as God's creation had a specific starting time, it also had a specific ending time. So the truth of Ecclesiastes 3:1 is true even of creation. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. What does God do after he finishes creations? We see that in Genesis 2:2. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So each of the first six days are mentioned once, and then we get to the seventh day, and we see at the beginning of this chapter 2 that it's mentioned 3 times. And that's significant in the Bible. It just means that this day, in some ways, carries more significance and importance than all of the other days. And what does God do on the seventh day? He rested. And what's rested mean? It means to cease or to stop. God rested from the work of creation that he was doing. Does that mean that God was tired? Do we get tired when we work? We do. We are not God. God is far different from us. One of the things God has is he's omnipotent. That means all-powerful or infinitely powerful. That's kind of a hard concept to wrap our mind around, but it's one of the reasons why he's referred to as God Almighty. It means God can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Isaiah 40:28 also says, "The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary." Psalm 121:4 says, he neither slumbers, means growing tired, or sleeps. He rested on the seventh day only in the sense that he ceased from the work that he had been doing. It has nothing to do with God taking a nap or getting in the recliner and pulling it up and just leaning back and relaxing. That's not what this is about. This is about rest. It's kind of like soon the leaves will be falling from the trees, and they're going to start resting in our garages and in our window wells. That's where they're just going to come to a stop. Or when we say a car skidded off the road, we'll say, and it came to rest in the ditch. It just simply means it stopped. And that's what this means. It's not about God sleeping or taking a nap. It just means God stopped working. Why did God stop working? We're not told. We're not told in this verse. So what we can do is we kind of can look back on things and we can look ahead to things. As we look back on things, we remember that we've covered so far that when God started his creation, the earth was formless, it was dark, it was void of life, and God began to make something of it. In other words, God brought order to that which was in disorder. So as we look back on chapter 1, and the whole context of that is God creating to bring order to his creation, this can be carried forward now into this passage. What God is doing in the seventh day and resting on it, it seems like it's part of his order. What he wants his will to be for his creation. And not only that, he provides an example for us to follow. We were made in his image and in his likeness. And when we rest on the seventh day, we're displaying a characteristic of God. So, the seventh day, this day, the 7-day week that every one of us probably have taken for granted all life long, is something that was created by God. And even atheist historians will link this 7-day week back to the nation of Israel. So it was God's people who first followed this practice, work 6 days, rest on the seventh, then that other nations around them began to duplicate to the point where now the whole world has a 7-day work week. It's because of God's order to his creation. So, as we look back again, we see in chapter 1 that God rested to provide us an example in what also seems like his order to things. So now let's look ahead again to verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Notice the last part of this. Because on it, on the seventh day, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. God's going to do a couple special things to this day. First, God blesses the seventh day. He pours out his favor on the seventh day. But what does that really mean? When God blesses something, what does it mean? Well, we see in the Old Testament, we see in Scripture that God blesses people. And that means blessings flow from them people. God blesses lands, and blessings flow from those lands. And so now, as God blesses this day, it's a time of blessings to flow. This is a day in which God desires for us to receive his blessings if we align ourselves with his will for this day. There's another special thing that he does on this day. He makes this day holy. He sanctifies it or sets it apart unto himself. That's what we see. We see in the Old Testament that God makes the nation of Israel holy. We saw that when he was up on Mount Sinai with Moses, he made the mountain of Mount Sinai holy. When the temple was built, he made the temple and everything in the temple holy. And the very first thing God ever made holy was the seventh day. It's to be set apart for him. So 6 days, we are each week we are to consider as days of work. But then on the seventh day, this is a day set apart as holy unto the Lord, and we're not to do any work. And it's one of the reasons why this day is sometimes referred to as the Lord's Day. So whether people realize it or not, the seventh day from the point of God's creation until now has always been holy in God's sight. So that's an overview of Genesis 2, 1 through 3. What application is there for us in all of this? No application is given. In other words, at this point in Scripture, God doesn't instruct us in any way how we should look at and follow the Lord's Day. We don't see that in our passage here. But we do see this passage tied to another passage, the fourth commandment, that we see in Exodus 28 through 11. And here's what that says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your maidservant or your female servant or livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The first thing I want us to do as we look at this passage is to see the connection that is in the fourth commandment back to Genesis chapter 2. And that is found in verse 11. So as we look at verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Look how closely that is connected to Genesis 2:3. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So essentially verse 11 of the fourth commandment is saying this commandment is being given because of what God did in Genesis chapter 2. So that's the connection for us, and that means what we're going to look at now ties directly back to the verses of Genesis. So let's look at this commandment. And it begins with this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is the commandment. That's the fourth commandment. That's it, right there, those few words. Verse 9 and 10 goes on to further explain what this commandment is. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, nor anyone under your authority or responsibility. That's what that's being talking about. So in the fourth commandment, we see, remember, the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means to rest from labor, a day of stopping work. So what we saw in Genesis where it said God rested, or it was a day of rest, is equivalent to Sabbath. They're almost interchangeable. So when we say a day of rest, we could say use Sabbath just the same. It begins with, remember the Sabbath day. We're being commanded here to remember the Sabbath, to remember there's one day in rest in every 7 days. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, on it you shall not do any work. Notice it doesn't say that the Sabbath is the last day of the week, like the Jews observe. Nor does it say it should be on the first day of the week, like most Christians observe. It doesn't say anything about weeks. It simply says you work 6 days, you rest 1 day. Work six, rest one. That's the point that's being made here. And it's a 24-hour day. We don't fulfill our Sabbath when we just come here and go to a church. This Sabbath day is to cover a 24-hour period of time. So the command is to not work, and that applies directly to us and also to anyone we have authority over. This is kind of to eliminate the loophole that somebody might say, well, I'll obey the Sabbath, but I'll have my kids work, or I'll have my servants work. Or today, it would be the Christian employer saying, I'll have my employees work. One of the reasons Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays is because of this command. They're being obedient to God. Okay, one thing we have to make sure we understand is, what does God mean when he says, no labor, don't do any work? Does that mean we have to just sit still all day and do nothing? No. What God is saying here is the normal weekly stuff that we have to do every day as part of our jobs and responsibilities, those we should not do on the Sabbath. It's the stuff that we can stop doing without causing someone or something harm. So people still need to be fed on the Sabbath. Your kids are going to want to be fed today. Animals still need to be fed. Dairy farmers still need to milk their cows today. Doctors and nurses still need to care for people today. There are things that have to be done on the Sabbath. God's point in all of this is eliminate anything you can eliminate as long as it doesn't cause harm to you or to someone else. So it's kind of having the attitude of even so going so far as maybe preparing your meals on Saturday for what you're going to eat on Sunday. So moms, you can just say, food's in the refrigerator, folks. It's up to you. Because it is a day of rest. And I know we kind of laugh about that, but that's what God's wanting us to do here. He wants us to pause and stop. So part of the application for this is that we, every one day out of seven, we are to stop our work to the extent we can. Many believers, including many of us, understand the seventh day as a day of rest. I don't think I've ever had any problem with saying, yes, the seventh day, the Sabbath, is a day of rest. But I've had problems with misapplying that. And I think many of us do. I think many of us look at the seventh day as a day of rest, meaning a physical rest. That as long as we're physically resting, we're being obedient to God's command. And that is not true according to what God's word is teaching us this morning. So because we misunderstand the command, we tend to think of the seventh day like a holiday. What's a holiday? Well, for most of us, a holiday is the day we don't have to work. But it's more than that. We also see then the holiday as a a day of doing whatever kind of recreation we want to do. It's our day. And that is carried over to the Sabbath. We tend to think, I'll go to church maybe, you know, I'll put my hour or two in and worship God, but the rest of the day is my day. Or it's our family day. My day, our family day, versus it's the Lord's day. Kind of changes our thinking a little bit, doesn't it? Do you know where the word holiday came from? Originally, it was tied to the practice of observing what God had called people to. It was holy day. And over time, it became holiday. Originally, this day is to be a holy day. We may or may not view it as a holiday, but God always created it to be a holy day. And that's what we see in this part of it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. So the Sabbath is to be set aside as a special day. It's special because we don't have to do any work. We're not to do any work. But that's not all. It's special because it's set apart to God. So the whole point in all of this, as you can see here, at the end of the yellow, is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So the teaching, the fundamental teaching of the fourth commandment is stop work so that you can give yourself to God. Stop work, give yourself to God. Cease from work so that you can give yourself to God. I'm just kind of hammering on that because I think we need that. I need that. So I can keep my eyes fixed upon what this truly means. This is to be a God-centered day. Rest from work so that we can give to God. Many of you are familiar with the story of Eric Liddell. It was made famous in the movie Chariots of Fire. How many of you have never heard of Eric Liddell or seen the movie Chariots of Fire? Okay, we have a few. Okay, Eric Liddell was born in China to a missionary couple. His native home was Scotland. Eric Liddell was a very fast runner, and he made the 1924 British Olympic team in the 100-meter dash, and he was one of the people favored to win that event. He went to Paris, where the Olympics were being held, and he learned that the preliminary heats for the 100-meter dash were going to be held on Sunday. Eric Liddell knew God's command to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. He understood those truths, and because of his convictions, he could not run that race. He was not willing to. The movie portrays him being greatly pressured, which he was, to get into the race, to put aside his beliefs and run. He was pressured by his own Olympic committee and even by the Prince of Wales, the king in waiting. And one of the things they challenged him with was, "You're not honoring king and country, Eric Liddell." And the more they pressured him, the stronger his convictions were, because he told them, "I do respect and honor king and country, but I will never sacrifice the truth of God for those things." And he wasn't willing to run, and he didn't run. But there was another team member on his team that allowed him to take his place in the 400-meter race. And it wasn't a race that he necessarily prepared for or specialized in, but he ran anyway. And if you know the story, you know he won the gold medal. He was faithful to the Lord. God blessed him, and he used that platform to glorify and honor God. Should our resolve to keeping the Sabbath be any different than Eric Liddell? are we going to be pressured to not keep the Sabbath? We're going to be pressured all the time. There's always things going on around us, but God's Word, through the example of God Himself in Genesis chapter 2, He's provided us an example to follow, and He's also given us His fourth commandment that says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Those are pretty clear commandments. Maybe that wasn't clear for us before today, but hopefully that's clear to you as you sit there now this morning. This is a day we are to rest from work to give ourselves to God. That's what the commandment is saying. And so if we understand the truth of God's Word and we are a child of God, then hopefully our conviction will be to follow that truth, to be just firm in that truth. And if we are, then the application of that truth will naturally follow in our lives. I've often said we live in an upside-down world where much of our world is directly opposite to what God has for us. And the Sabbath day is a great example of that and how it is being lived out. In my lifetime alone, Sunday has changed dramatically. When I was young, most all businesses were closed on Sunday. Most businessmen wouldn't even thought of opening their business on Sunday. It wasn't necessarily to be holy to God, but it was with the thinking it was a day of rest. It's not just business, though, that has shifted in people's, it's just people in general. There's now so many things vying for our attentions, so many things wanting us to fail at this command to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. There's so many things pulling on us to do on this day. And I just want to share one example. One of the examples that I've noticed in the last few years, probably within the last 5 to 10 years, are all the children events that now take place on Sunday. At a time, there was a time not that long ago, that didn't happen at all. And then gradually it was like later in the day on Sunday. And now at times it's just another day. And so that's pulling on us to get involved in those kinds of things. The way we're to go in life is not the world's way. We know that. That's part of the broad road. We've been called to a narrow road, to live faithfully. Preparing this message has really caused me to reevaluate my view and my application of this day. See, I too kind of looked at this as a day of rest, meaning as long as I physically rested, I was obeying God and honoring Him. But God's Word clearly showed me that I've only got half of it. And so I'm really missing out on the blessings that God has for me. So as I've looked at this marriage and this message, I've been so thankful for the conviction that it's brought. I've been so thankful for the insight that it's given to me. And I'm excited about trying to align my life more fully with the teaching of God's Word. And I'm excited to see what blessings will come from that. So I don't preach this message as one who has this all figured out and is a living example for you. I tell you this morning, I've not been a good example of this, but I want to be. And I hope you do too. Some of you may be sitting there this morning and just the thought is going through your mind that, you mean I have to sit in a chair all day and read the Bible and pray? Or some of you may be thinking that this seventh day command of God is more of a curse than a blessing. I want to remind you of Jesus' words in Mark 2:27. He said this, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so what Jesus is saying here, God didn't make us so we could just sit around and focus on Him today and worship Him. That's not why He made the Sabbath day. Jesus said He made the Sabbath day for you and for me. He made this as a gift to us, that if we live it out the way God has called us to live it out, that we will be abundantly blessed by it. That's what Jesus' point was. So the fourth commandment again, and the words from Genesis clearly teach that this is a day that we are to rest from work so that we can give ourselves to the Lord. So what might that look like in our lives? Well, it looks like what you're all doing right now. Coming to church. Isn't it a blessing to worship the Lord? When we come to church, we can sing songs and we can pray and we can give offerings in remembrance of what God's given us. We can hear his word and help us to draw to him and his will for our lives. So going to worship is a wonderful way of setting aside the Sabbath, not working and giving ourselves to the Lord. But it's not just our time here. It's when we go out this door and we go through the rest of our day, God wants that too. He wants us to give that to him. He wants us to stop working so that we can give ourselves to him all the rest of this day. And I don't know about you, but I think that's an awesome thing. Because our lives can get so cluttered and so full of stuff. And I think God's just kind of saying, hey, I want you to have a day where you can just leisurely pray with me. Or you can just leisurely read my word. Or listen to wonderful worship music. Those are some things that we can do. Maybe for some of us, it's walking in the woods and just looking at God's creation and being in awe of it and being reminded of him. It could be spending times with brothers and sisters in Christ that we would spur each other on, encourage one another. It could be reading a book or watching a movie if it helps us to look to the Lord and point to him. It could be an act of mercy or love for somebody else. How often have you gone to try to be an encourage or a blessing to somebody and you were the one blessed? What God would have us to do today, he doesn't give us a recipe book saying, okay, this is what you have to do on the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees tried to do. That's not what God wants. He's saying, this is a gift to you. And the best way you can use this gift is if you focus on me. And if you do that, I'm going to bless you. This is a day rich with blessing. So as you look to me, I'm just going to pour out my blessings on you. That's what this is teaching us. So when we are faithful in this, we're abundantly blessed. But when we are not faithful, God doesn't strike us down dead, and he doesn't remove our salvation from us. He simply is saddened because we are not receiving all the blessings that he would have us to receive. I want to end our time with these pretty amazing words from Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way, and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Father, again, we thank you this morning for your word and for the reminder this morning that a great gift has been given to us, a seventh day rest, a day in which we can stop or cease from our work, a day in which we can give ourselves more fully to you. All you've given that to, Lord, is for our blessing, and we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we want to be faithful. We pray you will continue to help us to do that. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love upon our lives. May we live in such a way that brings honor and glory to you. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.